Today on Real Radio.
Being a Christian in obedience to God, that is the ultimate answer. Being a Christian in obedience to God is not an option. It's not an option. Yes, yes, you can be a Christian and walk in disobedience to God, but the Bible makes it very clear that when you get to heaven, you're going to suffer loss. Did you know that?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a topical series based on Scripture that guides us believers in practical and godly living. Some of the titles in this series so far, Being a Christian While Being a Parent, In the Home, at Your Job, and so forth. Well, we're about to hear part of the final presentation of this series. It's called Being a Christian is Obedience to God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And I got to tell you that it has been a three-part teaching that has generated more response, email, phone calls, counseling, letters than any other topic that we've ever had in the history of this church, which just goes to show you how painfully sensitive and prevalent this issue of divorce is in the church. And so tonight, we are going to end things on this particular series, and next week we dive into just a whole new direction, which we're very excited about. The Lord has been leading and guiding, and something that I think you are going to really, really grow by. And I think, in light of what the last few weeks, or the last couple months, I should say, have been about, next week's going to kick off something that we all need very, very much. But as we look to tonight, we're talking about putting a cap on this series, but specifically on this topic, and we're looking at being a Christian tonight in obedience to God. And church, I want to talk with you tonight, and I want to talk with you tonight about the things that we've been going through these last few weeks together regarding divorce. But turn right now to Colossians, if you would, Colossians chapter 1, and you know the verses, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, and this has been our theme verses for these series together, and this is our last time reading it together here and now. Paul said to the church at Colossae, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins," or our sins specifically. Listen, we're going to recap a few things, and then we're going to talk a bit tonight about this divorce issue. I want to repeat this. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, God speaking, "For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. It is as cruel as putting on a victim's blood-stained coat, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself, always remain loyal to your wife," God says in the Bible. And we talked about that. We talked about that in detail. We talked about all the scriptures, all of the verses that we have gone through. And I want those of you who have not been here until tonight, we are not going to back up and rehash and rehearse everything. It's too much. But you can get the CDs or the DVDs to catch up. If tonight you ask a question in relation to this evening's teaching that was already answered in previous weeks, then I'm going to just have you go listen to those studies. We have been inundated with emails and questions, and it's been over the top amazing. But the pain and the heartfelt torture of divorce has been made so crystal clear with the responses from many of you, that your hearts are broken, and that for you, now you're single, and you're afraid to ever get married again, and you're search the scriptures, and you are able to be married again, yet you don't want to ever do that again, and you don't want to ever love again. You don't want to ever be near somebody, even possibly being that person again. These are real heartfelt issues. What does a Christian do about something like that? Then there are some of you who said, I got married, I thought I shouldn't have, it didn't work out, and come to find out, I've wanted and I've enjoyed being single all my life. And that's rare, but that happens. And we've heard about it in these last few weeks. Some of you have written me and you've said things that I have been set free by these teachings. I didn't know this, I didn't know that about the situation, and I've been set free. And then some of you have written me and said, now, Pastor Jack, it seems to me that you're telling me that I'm living in sin because I divorced my wife for this other woman. And in fact, that didn't work out, so I went and married this other girl. And you make me feel that I'm not right with God. Listen, you're not right with God. I didn't make you feel anything. I read you the verses, and you didn't like them. Your beef is not with me. And I told you that when I was giving you the Bible study. Your beef's not going to be with me. It's going to be with God. Listen, tonight, if you have mustered up the strength to come back to this evening, understand something. If God is speaking to you, Christian, at this late hour of our Christian existence here on earth, before the Lord comes back, if he's speaking to you, and you now find yourself, or you have been aroused to the place of, I'm in the wrong spot with God, then change it tonight. Please change it tonight. Listen, we want you in heaven with us. We want you growing with us. We want you being strong with us. We want you being used by God now. Don't settle for not only the condemnation that the enemy would heap upon you, but if you've sinned and erred from God, then repent of it and come back to God and start all over again. That's the amazing thing about our God. No matter how messed up you've made your life, our God, when we repent, grants us a new start. And you need to keep that in mind. I'm going to run through some things that is a little bit of a throw together of these last few weeks. Being a Christian in obedience to God, that is the ultimate answer. Church, listen carefully as I run through these points. Being a Christian in obedience to God is not an option. It's not an option. Yes, you can be a Christian and walk in disobedience to God, but the Bible makes it very clear that when you get to heaven, you're going to suffer loss. Did you know that? And not only heaven, that you'll suffer loss based upon 1 Corinthians. The Bible's very clear about that. But if you're a Christian tonight, you need to understand something that we don't often think, that when the rapture does happen, or when we do die and go be with Jesus, that we are coming back with him. You've all read Revelation chapter 19? The Bible says we're coming back with him to earth. He's going to set up his kingdom on earth for how long? Anybody remember? 1,000 years. The Bible says that we will be the bride of Christ, but we will rule and reign with him. The Bible makes it very clear regarding our faithfulness to God now, it will matter in that 1,000-year reign of Christ, our responsibilities and our status, our place in the kingdom life. That is very clear in the Bible. So I want to ask you something right now. As a Christian, as we talk about obedience, I want you to be thinking tonight that from this moment on, you are going to vow to pour yourself into following the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. The hour is late, the stakes are great, and the Lord is coming back. And you and I need to actually bless him or make him proud, if that's okay with you. I want to make him proud when he comes. And these are serious issues. And we're talking about these things regarding marriage, regarding life in relationships and divorce. Being a Christian is obedience to God. And number one thing I want you to think about tonight is this. You have got to be willing to submit to the Lord. If you're a Christian tonight, from this moment on, well, Pastor, I'm married or I'm not married. I'm single, I'm divorced, I'm going through a divorce. I don't care where you're at tonight. This is true for every one of us. From the weakest, brand new, little baby, brand new Christian now, to the most seasoned, experienced saint in here tonight, right now, you and I need to determine to be submitted to the will of God in all things. God is our God, and we are to submit to him completely and fully. And that is all about a love relationship. It's got to happen. Number one, this way. You and I have got to bury the past day by day. Bury the past. The Bible says in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's Paul the Apostle, Philippians 3:13-14. Paul is saying, I have not yet been apprehended for that reason for which Christ has apprehended me. I love that statement. See, Jack, what does that mean? Paul said, I have not fulfilled everything that God has called me to do. The reason why Jesus captured me, that reason has not been yet fulfilled in my life. I don't know about you personally, but I feel like that all the time. And I think that's healthy. I've read enough books in the lives of other Christian workers to find out that that's a healthy thing. All right? Do you feel like God's done with you in this life? Man, if you feel like God's done with you in this life, then you better just make out a will now, because you're going to be taken home soon. Now, that could happen to any of us at any time, but I don't know about you, but I know that what has happened yet in my life is not the full extent of God's plan for my life. I don't know what's coming, but I know because it comes from Him, it's going to be awesome. And so I want to be submitted to God completely. Well, my husband and I are not getting along. Then both of you submit to God. Okay, by the way, if you're a non-Christian tonight visiting, just enjoy tonight, because I'm really going to be beating up the Christian tonight. The non-Christian, you take a break. You can have a good, you can look at all these people and say, you know, you listen to him. But I'm telling you right now, well, you know what? She doesn't give me enough sex. Well, you know what? He doesn't open my door enough. Or he shuts the door halfway where I'm at. Hey, because one thing I've learned these last 4 weeks, and people writing me notes, is he says, she says, and then there's this rocket launch and this mortar round and then this bazooka and there's a nuclear blast. Listen, stop right now. Whoever you are and wherever you're at, stop. Are you a Christian? Yep. Then submit to God. Just do it. And it will translate into everything else in your life being effective. God is Lord, not you and I. We need to bury the past. And I want to cover a few things. Number one, if you have a great marriage, you know why you have a great marriage? Because you have a tendency to do what the Bible says, bury the past. You keep looking to the call of Christ. The past, let it go. The pain, let it go. Did she hurt you? Let it go. You say, Jack, that's denial. That's not denial. Denial says it never happened. The power of Christ in our lives to put things behind us in the past is to say, this thing affected me, I'm taking it, and I'm putting it behind me. I'm looking to Christ, and I'm not looking back at it. I am not going to let that thing, that event, control my life anymore. And I'm not talking about a person. I'm not saying, oh, I'm not going to let him control, or her control. I'm talking about that thing. That thing that they hurt you by. All of us have experienced hurt and pain. I did a wedding vow, an anniversary renewing of the wedding vows last Saturday, right here. A couple had been married 30 years. And it was amazing because they have grown kids now. So I asked the kids before the service, I said, how are your parents really? And the son and the daughter, I don't know, 25 and 27 years of age, something like that, I'm not sure. They just said, my parents, when we get married, we want to have a marriage just like our parents. You guys, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the awesome thing is that those parents, you could tell they love the Lord Jesus more than they loved each other. That's the key. That's the key. Bearing the past is something that every one of us has got to apply right now. And let me tell you something right now. If you are divorced and you're living in that world and the past is eating you alive, you have got to, as a Christian, say, Lord, it's killing me. Lord, I am taking those memories, those thoughts, those things, those dates, those calendar holidays, whatever it brings up the pain, Lord, I'm taking it to you and I'm leaving it with you and I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And notice the target. He moves. Paul says, I press towards. He presses into Christ. He presses into God. He presses into the Word. He is eating up the things he ought to be eating up so he can have success over the past. Christians, you must decide to do the same thing. You cannot press into other things, no matter how wonderful they might be. You name it. If you're pursuing, going after something other than Christ, you'll not find victory in this area. You will not find it. Yeah, but I'm working out more. Not going to find it. Yeah, but I got a new red sports car. Now I'm unbuttoning my shirt down to my navel. And I've got a gold chain around. That's not going to do it. You need Jesus. You say, well, I'm a Christian. You need to press into him. Remember John? John's laying on Jesus' chest at the upper room at the communion service of Passover. John is leaning. Man, that's amazing. John is leaning on Jesus' chest because, you know, by the way, those tables, they're about 17, 18 inches off the ground. And there's no chairs. You lean down with pillows and you lean like this and you eat like this. Okay? So somehow, and during worship time or what, John's ear is somewhere near the heart of Christ. Getting so close to Jesus to determine it. Now look, watch this. Let's be honest. Can you guys be honest? I'm going to ask you again. Let's echo. Can you guys be honest?
Yes.
Okay. How many of you have had or are having or expect to have troubles? Raise your hand. Okay, only a couple liars. Good. Okay, listen. There's only one way to have victory over those troubles that you're having now, or that trouble you have the past, or that you're going to have. And that's drawing near to Christ and staying there. And you guys, what I'm saying right now sounds insane because we live in the 21st century. And if it's not in neon, if it's not in super duper pixel, if it's not HD, if it's not mega speaker ear busting, then it just doesn't do anything for you. Well, you know what? You ought to pick up a book and read it. Well, man, how low tech is that? Try it sometime. I found out the younger generation can't do it. Only us old people know how to do it. It's the only thing we know how to do. My kids can fix my computer, but man, sit down and read a book. Read a book. How do you do that? You just sit there. You actually sit there. And you read. Man, I can't do that. Well, you need to do it. God will speak to you. It's amazing. Bury the past. Also this. You've got to resign to die to your demands. Whoever you are tonight, whatever the situation you're in tonight, whatever the case might be, you've got to right now tonight resign to dying. I am going to die to my demands. A willingness to submit to the Lord means you're going to resign your life. Say, man, I don't like the way that sounds. Well, it's the only way you're ever going to live. And some of you are sitting here right now, you go, man, this is nuts. I can't believe I came here. Listen. Just think in the reverse for a minute. Put yourself number one. Do everything, anything that comes to your mind, whatever pleases you and you only, you do it. You think about yourself and no one else. You get the bigger piece of the pie. You get to be the first one in line. You do that. You look out for good old number one. You know, there's a whole bunch of loonies that are about 30, 40 miles from here that do that. It's called Hollywood. And are they happy? How long do their marriages last? Okay, they got all the money in the world and all the fame in the world, and they're committing suicide. So don't tell me that that's the answer. I think Jesus knows the answer. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, that is, live it for you, you're going to lose it. But if you give it up, then you'll find it. I want you to think about that. For some of you who don't know that that's a verse of the Bible spoken by Jesus, I want you to think about that for a second. True happiness is found in forgetting and losing the reality of who you are and letting God take care of you. It's amazing. It's true freedom. It's true freedom. You need to resign to your own demands. In Mark 9:35, the Bible says that Jesus sat down, he called the 12 together, and he said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last, and all of all, and be servant of all." That's true freedom. Mark 9:35. Also this willingness to submit to the Lord means this, that you and I have got to elevate the Lord in every area of our lives. Are you going through a divorce tonight? Are you thinking about it? Stop. You have no authority to pursue that. Oh, Jack, I caught her cheating. You still don't have the authority to do that. I thought the Bible said I can divorce my wife for sexual immorality. It does say that, but that's only second best. First best is reconciliation, is making up, getting it back together. That's the first thing. Church, listen. This is not in my notes, so I don't know how it's going to come out. I'm warning. So that's my disclaimer right there. It's easy for us to catch somebody in a situation because we can physically point to them. I caught you! And I understand that. And I'm not putting it down. There's a lot of power in that. It's evidence. It's admissible in court. It all depends on what court you're talking about, though. Cannot God look down into my heart or your heart and point the finger at us and say, "Wait a minute, Jack, as you point to that person right there, have you not in your own life thought these thoughts?" But God, they were just thoughts. And he said, "Well, you know, with the court where I preside over, thoughts, we have those entered into our courtroom." Jesus said, if a man or a woman, it goes either way, looks at a man or a woman and lusts after them in their heart for sexual dominance, fulfillment, pleasure. What did Jesus say? You've already committed adultery. That's in the courtroom of God. So if you caught him or you caught her, are you willing tonight to say, you know what, the marriage is over, that's it, it's over. It's just done. The reason why you're saying that is because, honestly, I don't mean to pour insult on injury here, but the reason why you're saying that is because you have nothing else in your well to grab from. You are scraping the rocks, dude. I understand that, but there's more. I'm leaving her. I caught her. Listen, stop for a moment. The reason why you feel that way is because you have got nothing to grab onto. You're grabbing sand and you're pulling it up in your hands and you are responding in the most basic response possible. I understand that. But what if God were to say to you, I want you to love her like I love you. I want you to forgive her like I have forgiven you. I want you to understand that the thoughts you've had, sir, in your life, or that little peek you took on that website is equal to in my courtroom in relation to what she did. See, you don't want to think that way. You want to think that God grades on a curve, and he doesn't. He's perfectly holy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Being a Christian is Obedience to God. It's the final presentation in this series called Life and the Bible. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've had quite a bit of response regarding this series. Once again, it's called Life and the Bible. And what we heard on today's broadcast serves as a good example of what you'll hear throughout the series. Life and the Bible is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org to learn more. realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll also be able to click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is seen on television and the internet, and we invite you to see that as well. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.